Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Ajay Darshan Behra. I am the coordinator for the Pakistan Studies Program. I'd like to welcome all of you, particularly the distinguished speakers, the panel speakers, some of them who have come from far distances. This is a very important event that we are holding today, not only the photo exhibition, but the panel discussion on International Women's Day. Most of you might be familiar with the situation right now in Afghanistan. We expect a transition happening in Afghanistan, but there is also a social transition which is happening in Afghanistan. And I think it was appropriate that we take up some of these issues about women and development in Afghanistan on International Women's Day. I have great pleasure in welcoming the panel speakers, Judge Najla Ayoubi, who's come from Afghanistan. And let me introduce all of the speakers with a brief background. Judge Najla Ayoubi is a lawyer and the country director of Open Society Afghanistan. Previously, she was program director for law, human rights, and women's empowerment in the Asia Foundation's Afghanistan office and contributed greatly to crucial programming efforts, including co-authoring the 2011 survey of the Afghan people as well as the Afghan survey in 2010. She is a former prosecutor and commissioner of the Independent Election Commission and the Joint Electoral Management Body of Afghanistan, and also served as a legal advisor to the State Ministry for Parliamentary Affairs within the Afghan government. Judge Ayoubi also currently sits as an executive board member of the Afghan Women's Network and is a global advisory board member of South Asia Women's Regional Network. Now let me welcome Mrs. Catherine Coleman, who is the First Secretary Development in the Embassy of Canada in Afghanistan. She has been focused on women and girls' rights and Afghanistan Independent Human Rights Commission's programming in Afghanistan for almost 2 years now. Welcome, Mrs. Catherine Coleman. And Dr. Mondira Datta, who is an Associate Professor in the School of International Studies at JNU. Her areas of specialization are gender studies, human security, and human development, with particular reference to India, Afghanistan, and Central Asia. She has won many honors and awards. She was awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award by the International Congress of Women for Justice, Equality, Peace, and Progress, sponsored by the United Nations Information Center for India and Bhutan, Government of India, the FICCI, and the India Today Group. Her study on the Indian initiatives for Afghan women in 2010 was sponsored by the Ministry of External Affairs, which was based on primary survey in Kabul and Balkh provinces of Afghanistan. Her recent publication is Gender and Human Development in Central and South Asia. The fourth panel speaker, Mrs. Pamela Philippos, is the Director and Editor-in-Chief of Women's Feature Services. The news agency generates stories largely on women's issues. She's been a senior journalist in many publications, the last being in the Indian Express. She's also been awarded a number of prizes, including the Chameli Devi Award for Outstanding Women Journalists and G. Astitva Award for Constructive Journalism. Her specialty is women in development. She's the author of Laugh All the Way to the Vote Bank, published by Penguin in 2002. She writes for several publications on gender, health, and environmental issues. We are also grateful to the Deputy High Commissioner for Canada to India, the Minister Councillor, for having agreed to deliver the introductory remarks. He's the Minister Councillor for Canada to Nepal and Afghanistan. He's been in New Delhi at the High Commission since August 2009. He's a career in the Foreign Service and Director of the South Asia Division in the Department of Foreign Affairs and International Trade. He served overseas in Japan and Indonesia. He's obtained a bachelor's degree from the University of Regina and a master's degree from the Norman Patterson School of International Affairs, Carleton University. Welcome, Mr. Jim Nicol. I also now welcome Mr. Ashraf Haidri, the Deputy Ambassador, Minister Counselor of the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan to India. Mr. Haidri has served as the Deputy Assistant National Security Advisor of Afghanistan from 2004 to 2011. He served in the Embassy of Afghanistan in the United States. He has held various positions with the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees and the United Nations World Food Programme in Afghanistan. He is consistently engaged in public diplomacy in order to maintain international focus on and support for the stabilization and reconstruction of Afghanistan. His writings have appeared in publications like The Hindu, The Washington Post, The New York Times, and various other publications. He is the recipient of many public and academic awards. Welcome, Mr. Haidari.
Well, thank you so much for the kind introduction earlier. Deputy High Commissioner Jim Nicol, my good colleague and friend, Professor Sajjad, ladies and gentlemen, I'm profoundly delighted and honored to be a part of today's celebration of the International Women's Day. Foremost, I would like to extend the sincere congratulations of the Afghan government and people to all women across the world on this momentous occasion. And I too congratulate the courageous, visionary, and suffering women of Afghanistan on this special day. I'm inspired by their increasingly active and vocal participation in forums like this, made possible by the support of our many friends, India, Canada, and other allies in the region and around the world. Please allow me to thank the High Commission of Canada in New Delhi and the Center for Afghanistan Studies at this renowned university for their collaboration to host today's event. This afternoon, we're not only recognizing the many achievements of the Afghan women over the past 11 years, but also the challenges that still confront them. And I think the heroic gains of Afghan women and the problems and threats still facing them are best captured by the works of dedicated and humanitarian artists like Ms. Lana Selezik, whom I thank very much in absentia. Ladies and gentlemen, since the fall of the Taliban, considerable progress has been made with international assistance to ensure participation of Afghan women in the political life of our country. This past January, Ms. Saida Shikib Sadat, whose husband disappeared under the Taliban, assumed office as Afghanistan's first female district administrator in Jawzjan province. She recently told media that one of her top priorities was to empower women and girls. She says this can be achieved through development of her district, Khwaja Duko, with a population of 5,000 that lack access to education, healthcare, and employment assistance such as income generation schemes. But Ms. Sadat is determined to address these problems during her time in office, and the Afghan government will stand by her to do so. Like Ms. Sadat, thousands of other women are active in Afghanistan in various capacities. The first female provincial governor and district mayor in Afghan history are serving their constituencies. The key ministries of public health, women affairs, and labor social affairs, martyrs and disabled are led by women, as is Afghanistan's independent commission on human rights. At the same time, our parliament continues to convene with a higher percentage of female representatives, 27%, than the legislative bodies of many of the most established democracies, including the US Congress with 15%, or the British Parliament with 19%. So this is a great achievement for Afghan women. These landmark achievements by Afghan women are truly laudable within 11 years. But the challenges facing them are many 11 years on. One woman dies every 29 minutes in childbirth, the second highest maternal mortality rate in the world. Mountainous terrain and weather conditions prevent timely medical attention to patients and pregnant women. Severe food shortages have resulted in chronic malnutrition among women, and 48% of Afghan women are iron deficient. Millions of girls cannot attend school because of security concerns or restrictive social norms. Just 12% of women 15 years and older can read and write, compared to 39% of men. The overall literacy rate for women between the ages of 15 and 24 stands at 24%, compared to 53% for men in Afghanistan. Today, Afghan women less than security as the number one obstacle to their overall progress in any area, especially political participation. The Taliban have expanded their presence where the government is absent, especially in the countryside where most women live and where terrorists daily carry out suicide terrorist attacks against self-targets. The Taliban have targeted and killed female teachers and burned down hundreds of girls' schools. They will continue their campaign of terror in Afghanistan so long as their leadership remains intact in Pakistan, where they find safe havens, arms, and ideological support. Ladies and gentlemen, improving the condition of women is a priority in our national development strategy. In 2008, we launched a national action plan for the women of Afghanistan to provide a comprehensive cross-ministerial approach to improving the condition of women. In addition, we're working to change societal mindsets. In some parts of Afghanistan's most traditional areas, attitudes hamper the progress of women. And like most governments in the world, the Afghan government not only makes and implements policies, but also functions as an agent of social change, working to ameliorate the traditional views that hold women back from fully developing their abilities and contributing to society. We're partnering with local elders and religious figures to ensure that attitudes change through community-based or centered approach. Through the National Solidarity Program, more than 22,000 women are actively participating along with men and more than 10,000 community development councils to assess local needs, receive and implement grants from the Ministry of Rural Rehabilitation and Development, and lead project design and implementation. Ladies and gentlemen, slowly we are progressing. As the success of Ms. Sadat and others reminds us, women are the pillars of any society, and especially of Afghanistan. With enhanced attention to women's issues, more than half of the Afghan population can be socially, politically, and economically empowered to make a significant contribution to Afghanistan's long-term development. The international community must help the Afghan government approach the task of empowering Afghan women as a continual process rather than as a single benchmark, for experience shows that even legal equality does not translate into equal treatment. Indeed, we remain indebted to India for sharing their bread with us, having provided Afghanistan with over $2 billion in most effective assistance over the past 11 years. And Canada has not only given billions in aid to Afghanistan, Canadian sons and daughters have also fought and fallen alongside their Afghan comrades to secure the future of Afghanistan. The combined assistance of these two friendly countries has gone a long way in empowering and enabling Afghan women to participate actively in the Afghan society, polity, economy, based on equal rights under Afghanistan's progressive constitution. So once again, congratulations to all women in audience on your so special day today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ashraf. I'd like to now call on our first speaker from the panel. This is Judge Najla Auba of the Afghan Women's Network of Kabul.
Salam to everybody. This is how we are treating the people who first we meet. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you so much for the organizers of this event. I would like to also congratulate all women and men as well, the International Women's Day, for the celebration of International Women's Day, and I wish them all the best. I think many of the things, I'm totally different. I would like to bring totally different perspective into the room. I'm happy that my friend, our colleague, Mr. Haideri, mentioned lots of achievements and few problems, but lots of achievement, which is the reality of Afghanistan. But I would like to bring different perspective because I would like to put a question whether all of these achievements are fragile or these are sustained in the Afghanistan context. This is one big question always in my mind, and it makes me really worry about the future of women in Afghanistan, not the current situation, but also future situation of Afghanistan. I think everybody knows that the women are playing a huge role on development of the society in each country, not only in Afghanistan, but in the entire world. And they're playing a huge role on raising the children who will be definitely part of the development and the future of their countries and the next generation. But one of the issues that it really makes me worry that most of the issues are very nice on the papers, on the shelves. Even these pictures are telling us different stories of the women in Afghanistan. You can see each of us will have different interpretation from these pictures. Because we have different perspectives, you know. It's something that we have to realize that I do interpret something that it's really important for me and as well as the way my mind is set. This is something that we have to realize this as a key for our interpretation of the situation. I think most of the achievements mentioned by, I will not go back and I will not repeat them, which is the great achievements in the last 10 years of Afghanistan women's life and the history of Afghanistan ever. But still, there are lots of problems that I would like to raise it here as a preventive element to the woman being part of the development in Afghanistan. The biggest problem, I think, the patriarchal mindset of the society, which everything is discriminatory to the woman in Afghanistan. Like, the mindset is put, like, you can see the mindset is something that all the men, even I was asking these, our young students here, that they are here, and I asked whether there is a woman from Afghanistan. I don't know whether someone come or not. But see, even in this environment, you can see all the men are present. But what happened? Why women are not here? They are educated. They are studying in the university, and they are not taking part. What is wrong? It is wrong in my country, in my context, because there is security. There is lack of security. There is lots of social problems that prevent women to be part of the public life. But what's wrong here? You're studying. I think you're doing your master's degree. Yeah? Am I right? You're doing bachelor or master?
Bachelor.
Still, you know, you're young, you're motivated, you're energetic, but where are the women? And I would like to ask each of my brothers here, where are the women, the young women who are studying in this university as well? I'm sorry if I'm asking, but this is how I see how the women are treated, not only in Afghanistan, elsewhere as well. This is one problem. The second problem is the sexual abuse, violence, rape, target killing, honor killing, harassment. Like, even if I'm walking in the street, I'm not feeling safe because I'm definitely someone will harass me by any meaning. That's why this is something that prevents women being part of development and being confident on herself to be part of the development and part of the construction or reconstruction during the post-conflict or conflict. harmful practices which we have exchanged with is, which is Badal, we are calling Badal, and also another one is forced marriage, child marriage, BAT, which is another one is, you know, women are giving to the family instead of any disputes, family disputes or social disputes. These are the main issues that prevents women being part of the decision making. What can be done? Where are the opportunities? Why we are not looking at those opportunities that they are arising daily? It's sometimes from the people within the country and sometimes from the people who are helping us, like our international counterparts from the across the world. I think this is one issue that it's really prevent women. Another issue that I would like to mention here, it's very important for me because I studied post-conflict studies, and I know how things are affecting women on the post-conflict environment. One of the issues that we have been facing in the past 10 years, militarization of the aid, which is definitely mainly men agenda rather than women agenda. This is something that mainly men are deciding on behalf of the women, not only women, but the whole population who are at the decision-making level. This is something that we have to look at there. How can you see that? I mean, we have seen in the past 10 years or three decades of war in Afghanistan that everything have been through the military way. Like now we have, I don't know how much time I have, sorry. 5 more minutes? Okay, thank you. I have to conclude then. One of the issues that it's very important to look at is the most of the funds have been spent on the militaries, on the development of the military, on spending on the military, spending on the war and conflict and everything in security mainly. But what happened if you are not looking at the balance of the security and development at the same time? That's why this is the main important point that really worries us, how the woman, how the civilian development can be increased in the future for Afghanistan, that can be affected not only women but the men of Afghanistan as well. Something that comes in my mind always, and I'm a bit maybe I don't know, maybe this is my mindset, that's why I think that having 25% of women, which Mr. Haideri mentioned, having women in the parliament, how much they are playing the role? How much they are confident to play their role? How much they are independent taking any decision to be affected women's life in Afghanistan? This is something that we have to bring this question always in our mind, and how much they are getting support, not only from the government, from civil society, from media, from international community. These are the issues that we have to put a huge question mark and make it something future plan to do, work with them and build their confidence on what they are doing, put them, maybe help them to put their future agendas, put them on the positions that they are skilled and they have the skills to go forward. These are the issues that I was thinking to mention to you. I know that there might be lots of questions that I didn't put any structured, what it's called, a structured presentation. That's why I'm putting all of these questions to you, and hopefully you will, there might be lots of questions and I will be ready to answer. Thank you so much.